turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 15 through 17, which is the text of today's sermon. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And I will be preaching out of the Modern English Version. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Thus far, the reading of God's word. What do you devote your life to every time you wake up? Every time you wake up in the morning, what are the first thoughts that come into your mind? Besides the mundane routine of waking up, what dominates your motivations you go about your day? Throughout your day, where are your desires? When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're out in the streets, wherever it is you may be, what drives your desires? Do you desire after the things of this world to the point that you're lusting after them? Do you seek prestige? A name among men? Do you desire that which is not lawful for you to have? Or is your focus on how to do everything I am about to do to the glory and honor of God? We'll be considering these matters this morning as I unfold this portion of God's word. Now, love is the theme of this letter of John. This first John letter is the theme throughout the entire letter is love. Love towards one another. Love towards the brethren. Our love to God. The love of God towards us in Jesus Christ. This love is then contrasted with counterfeit forms of love. And the most convincing counterfeit form of love is lust. Lust is a counterfeit form of love. Like love, lust has a desire towards an object or person. However, unlike love, lust is self-centered, conceited, and driven by pride. Yet many times we say, quote, we love someone or something, when in fact, we lust after it. The Apostle John admonishes believers not to love the world so that the love of the Father may remain within the believer. Therefore, love the Father, not the world. We'll be considering 3 points for the 3 verses. Point number one, you should not love the world as it is lust. You should not love the world as it is lust. Point two will be your love of the world is not of the Father. And three, love the Father so that you live forever. So we go with point one. You should not love the world as it is lust. Verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. First off, what does the Apostle John here mean by the word world? Well, he's not talking about the actual planet. And the creatures themselves, per se, in the planet that God created. Rather, he's talking about the order that distracts us from God. Those things, the system, the pomp that's in the world, the things that we want that elevate us in a prideful manner, that take us away from the Father, that takes our mind away from the Word. That is what he means. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The Gospel of Matthew. And here, in verse 8, we're in the midst of the temptation of the devil against Christ. And it says, the Word says, again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their grandeur. And said to him, to Christ, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. The grandeur of the world, the things, the status, and the praise of men is extremely attractive, intoxicating, and seductive. Yet, it comes at a heavy price. It is as it is a turning away from God and a turning to oneself and even a turning to Satan. Just as we have just read here. We are to resist the temptations of the world and worship and serve God alone. Because the love of the world is not love. It is lust. It is that seeking of self-aggrandizement. The Apostle John is straightforward when he tells us that if we do love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. Christian, do you love the Father? Again, I ask you, Christian, do you love the Father? Then do not love the world. Christian, do you love the world? And I ask you again, Christian, do you love the world? Then the love of the Father is not in you. You will need to reevaluate your spiritual condition if this is the case. Repent of your transgressions of the first to the fourth commandments if your love, which is your lust, is of the world. Seek restoration in Christ. You see, this so-called love of the world leads to spiritual decay. Turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 22. Matthew 13, 22, the Word states, he also who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the Word. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful. What occurs when the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches overtake your life, your mind, your heart? The Word of God that has been sowed in your heart gets choked out, and you become unfruitful. Christian, do you desire to be unfruitful to God? Recall what Christ did to the fig tree. When it had no fruit and he desired figs, he cursed it. We have experienced these past 2 months what it feels, in a way, not to be able to congregate and worship God together. There has been a minor squeeze around our necks. Now I say this has been minor. However, when you allow the cares of this world to dominate you, the riches of this world to consume you, what we've been going through these past 2 months is nothing. Because the Word of God will be choked out of you as you pursue the lusts that this world tempts you with and offers to you. Flee from the vanity that this world is giving and offering to you. Flee. Love the Father instead. Love the Father instead. Pursue his glory. Pursue his holiness. Pursue the fruits of the Spirit. That is the counter. That is the application. Pursue His glory. Pursue His holiness. Point two. Your love of the world is not of the Father. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Brethren, do you remember when you were young and you saw that toy that you wanted so bad? That doll, that PlayStation, that play thing, whatever it was that you wanted it. Bobby down the street had it. Susie next door had it. You didn't have it, but you wanted it. And you bother your parents day in and day out. I want it because Susie has it, Bobby has it, I don't have it. And finally you get it. 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, where's that toy? Discarded off to the side. Because Susie and Bobby have a new toy that you want. Well, lust is much more destructive than that. You see, you want something so bad that you set aside the things of God to pursue it. You allow it to dominate your mind, your heart. And that's all you can think of. I want that. I want that. And lust drives you towards it. Even to commit unlawful acts to gain it. And then once you've had it, that taste is not as pleasurable as you thought it would be. And that lust that you had, of the flesh, of the eyes, that pride, it is cheap. And it robs you of God's holiness. And it causes you to fall into sin, into that mire, to that swamp. And there you are, wallowing with the pigs, as it were, because you allow that lust to dominate you. And for what? Cheap pleasure that did not last. You see, the Apostle John here defines exactly what he means by the world. It is the lust of the flesh. It is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. My fellow teens and young adults, you're going through that phase of life where there's a lot of transition. There's a lot of urges in you. There's a lot of pressure put upon you during this time. You see, next door neighbor with the latest fashion. You know, he has the latest, nicest shoes, the Jordan 6s or whatever, and you want it, right? You want to be hip. You want to be in style. Or, you know, you're driven by academia. And that guy right there who doesn't know Christ, he gets a 4.5. And you're still struggling at a 3.5. And you want to be top of the class. You have all these other urges that drive you, that dominate you, that cause you to think wicked thoughts. Resist. Resist, because these are the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. This is the pride of life that seeks to turn your affections away from the Father, away from Christ. Work hard. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Lord calls us to do all things to His glory, to do and to magnify Him in all of our duties. Pursue that 4.5. But do it in Christ. But yet, being dressed up in a way that reflects more the taste of the world, that is pride. Beware, young adults, of the pride of life, of the lust, of the desires, those evil cravings of youth that will seek you, that will cause you to go away from the Father and destroy you. How about the adults? The pride of life at the workplace, in society, in academia. It can be cutthroat out there as you try to move up in the company. You want to make a name for yourself, so you're very quiet about being a Christian. You're called upon, you know, to work on the Lord's Day. Because if you don't, you may miss out on a promotion. So you give in. All of that sinful. Do not fall into the ways of the world. Resist. The Apostle Paul also decries that living like the world. The Apostle Paul in Romans 13 tells us how he describes man that lusts after the flesh. Romans 13, verse 13. And the Word of God tells us, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in immorality and wickedness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Carousing, drunkenness, all of that is like smoke and vapor. You may find pleasure in them for a moment, but like smoke and pleasure, that smoke and vapor, that pleasure quickly disappears. And the sinful consequences last much longer to your own hurt. In fact, these sinful ways of living are at odds with living in Christ. So the Apostle Paul tells us, put on Christ. Put on Christ. How do you resist this immorality, this carousing and drunkenness? Put on Christ. The Apostle Peter defines immorality for us in the context of lust and in the ways of the world. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Seeking the events and the time. Oh, I'm sorry. That was chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I implore you as aliens and refugees, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You see, Peter's telling us, flee from these fleshly lusts, for they wage war against your soul. Jude 16 warns us as well. What is the end of this pride of life? These men are grumblers and complainers who walk after their own lusts. Their mouths speak arrogant words and they flatter others to gain profit. So how do these men who seek status gain it? Usually by arrogant words and flattery. Beware such men. Beware such men. James chapter 1, verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. What is the end of lust after the flesh? Lust after the eyes? What is the end of all this lust? It is death. It brings death. From Christ to every single New Testament author, they all have one message. One message. That the lust of the world leads to death and is not of the Father. Point three. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. How does the world and its desires pass away? Well, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 14. The second part. What is your life? says James, asks James. It is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. First Peter chapter 1, verse 24. First Peter tells us, quoting from the Old Testament, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." You see, congregation, life is a vapor. Here 1 second, gone the next. Many have recently mowed their lawn, right? I know my kids were out there mowing. My neighbor was too, just yesterday. How soon hereafter will you do so again? Pretty soon, I'm sure. You see, life is this grass. It grows for a little while, and then it gets cut down. All of its glory blows away, as when a child blows the seed head of a dandelion. Gone. Sure, we may seek to do some extraordinary acts in life, just enough to make some history book so that we are never forgotten. I have the best track record, or the best, you know, yardage in high school football, whatever it may be. But that record gets broken. Whatever event you did in history, someone will come along before long and supplant you. And you'll become a footnote, then an end note, and then no note. How long before that statue that was erected in your honor is removed due to a paradigm shift in society? You see, the world is passing away, as is its desires. Your status, your intelligence, your shiny things that have choked out the love of the Father in you are all vanity. Nothing but smoke and mirrors, quickly taken away. What are you then? A friend of the world? You will quickly be forgotten. What is worse, God will say to you on that day, when you come before His presence, "Who are you? I do not know you. Depart from me into everlasting condemnation." Will you exchange your eternal life for the brief pleasures of this world? Christ said, "Take up your cross and follow me." The Lord God has judged this world even now. He has stopped us in our tracks, in our race of madness. He has stretched out His right hand and stricken our economies, our educational systems, and our sports. Why? Could it be that our economic structure has caused us to chase after the material, lusting after things, and setting God off to the side? We rather use our wealth for that which does not last, instead of investing into what does? Our educational system, which has promoted man as God, which has elevated the pride, the narcissism, and the conceit of many, that has led to a new generation that spout off, "Who is this God and why should I listen to Him?" Our sports industrial complex has been halted by God. When sports compete with the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, to distract us from the lovingness of God, and in giving an entire day to Him as He has commanded, is it a wonder that it has been stopped? Christian, will you only give to God 2 hours each Lord's Day, and then prepare yourself for the games and throwing off sanctifying of His day? I got to get these wings on the grill. I need to get the beer code. I need to do this. I need to do that. Where's the Lord's Day? See, that is the love of the world, and not the love of the Father. So you find yourself in these situations, you need to repent, brethren. You need to repent. God is struck at all of these institutions. What of the church? Has our love for the world been so profound that we have regarded little the word of God and his proper worship? There are many so-called prophets that presume to speak in the name of Jehovah, but do they? Yet millions run after them. God has shut the doors of his church to give us a famine of his word. Have we felt hungry? Christian, have you felt hungry? Are you hungry for God? 1 John 3:13. 1 John 3:13. Do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. That should be a reality in our lives. We should not marvel when the world hates us. If you desire to live forever, do the will of God and do not love the world. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things, those that are good and in agreement with the will of God, shall be given to you. The world will not know you if you love him. And that's a good thing, because it did not know him. Will you be like the tribe of Judah if they gave up Samson to the enemies? How then do we escape the things of the world? 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcomes the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we as Christians, we have been called to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And being called as such, we have this written upon our foreheads, holiness unto the Lord. Brethren, do you have that written across your forehead? Holiness unto the Lord. Never mind the craze right now about microchips and RFIDs. Do you have holiness unto the Lord written across your forehead? Put to death your lusts and pride and put on Christ. The Gospel of John, the Gospel of John 12. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. We'll be reading verse 25. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 25. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Whose honor do you seek? The honor of the world or the honor of the Father? Where do you want to be? In the high places of this world? Or do you want to be a servant of Christ and be where he is? Do you want to serve him or the fickleness of this world? If you have not known the love of the Father, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him and believe on Christ and you shall live. Repent of your sins. Turn away. Turn away from your life. Turn your life away from the world and turn to Christ who shed his blood on the cross to redeem and pardon sinners. Believe and you shall live. As we have considered the apostles' words, that the desires and the love of this world are very temporary and even destructive. I ask you, congregation, consider the warnings from God. Do not let the things of this world choke out your love towards the Father. See, these things pass away and are no more. However, the love of the Father is a love that does not pass away. It gives life. Seek to do the will of the Father, and you will live forever. How do you seek this will? How do you seek the Father? You may ask. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, Christ tells us. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. That is how we love the Father. That is how we love Christ. Following after his commandments, living his commandments, dwelling in his word. And he will reveal himself to you. So come to Christ. Love Christ. Repent of your sins that have lusted after this world, and live. Then when you pass and stand before the presence of God in Christ, you shall hear those most precious and most beautiful words, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master." Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks and we praise you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, for the word you've given to us. And I do pray and ask, Lord, that you give us the grace and the strength in your spirit, just like you gave to Samson, the strength to beat back the enemies, the Philistines. Give us the spirit to fight against the lust that drives us to love this world, that lust that seeks to choke out your word in us. Give us the strength to take it captive to the obedience of Christ. Lord, cause us, Lord, to put to death our sin, to kill our sin, so that it does not kill us. Oh Lord, be with us, Lord. And may this word build us up during the week. May this word be a shield for us when the fiery darts are shot at us, that we may hide behind your word, believing upon you and your promises, which are sure and true. Lord, endow us with your spirit, and may we walk this week in Christ in all that we do, putting him on, that the world may see that we are your servants. This we do pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.